But there was an article that's over 70,000 people of that denomination have chosen to leave and start new churches and leave the PCUSA. And that, to me, is a praise, because they are saying enough is enough, and the word is important. So, that's a praise. And today we're going to be talking about obedience to God's leading. You know, I've enjoyed the book of Acts. I mean, so far we've seen these massive conversions. I mean, we've witnessed through God's word that on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 souls came to believe. And then we read about the crowds that after that were being converted by the apostles as they preach and perform signs and wonders. Philip goes down to Samaria, and a great number paid attention, it says, to what he was preaching concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus as the Messiah. And people believed and were saved. It was a great time of blessing for this young church that was just getting started. I mean, last week, the story of Philip, it appears that the revival in Samaria and the people coming to Christ was going crazy, and it was a great time, and Philip is an important part of this. He's kind of the chief evangelist. Peter and John even come from Jerusalem to inspect the work, and then they went back to report to the believers in Jerusalem and the apostles what was going on. Philip was key to the advancement of the church in Samaria. And yet, it was precisely at this moment when God calls him to leave. God says, leave. I have something I want you to do. Today's message shifts then. It shifts from the conversion of masses of people and focuses on one man. Last week, it seemed like Philip was the first century Billy Graham, preaching to hundreds, if not thousands, at one time. Most of us are not called to preach these great evangelistic crusades. But here in today's passage, there is something for all the rest of us. We are called to do personal evangelism. In fact, just as surely as God called Philip down to Gaza, he calls us to reach out to the people in our lives, to encounter the people that God puts in our lives as we travel through on our way to heaven, and to speak to them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have thought that you are not gifted in order to preach to massive crowds, then have peace. Do not fret. Today's passage is from God, and it's specifically for you. This scripture passage shows how the general movement of the gospel to the ends of the earth can begin with one person. How a Gentile African traveling back to Ethiopia after coming to Jerusalem to worship was the beginning of the gospel coming to East Africa. Most scholars believe that he believed in the God of the Jews. And so he traveled to Jerusalem. So here, and then this eunuch, this Gentile eunuch, meets a Jew that's been converted to Christianity and is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see how Philip's obedience to God plays out this morning in an amazing way. So as I was thinking about this, the kind of the key point that came up for my message this morning and for us to live out was, You know, we live in a busy and noisy world, just as Philip was able to listen to God amid the chaos of all the crowds. We too must learn to filter out the world in order to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit's leading. Listen intently and obey as God directs us. We sometimes struggle with the fact that we don't know the details. You know, I mean, it's our nature. We want to know the beginning and the middle and the end. But, you know, God doesn't always do that. God has His plans. And in this passage, we'll see Philip simply takes step by step what God tells him to do, even though he doesn't know what the end's going to be. He goes down the road that connects with Jerusalem and Gaza. And this is all he's instructed to do. He doesn't know why, but he obeys. God will at times put thoughts in your heart. And you think, well, how could that be? Or what purpose would this serve? But you see, when God speaks to your heart, you can't quench the Holy Spirit. You need to be obedient and you need to act and you need to do what He's leading you to do, even if you do not see the end. So notice with me as we go through this passage today, how many times God gets things started in this passage. God is the first mover. He is the primary mover of every salvation that happens to anyone. And there's no difference in this text. And we can notice, too, that Philip is obedient to God, and he just lets God lead him step by step. Step one, God's angel messenger said, go down the road, and Philip went. Step two, the Holy Spirit says, go up to the chariot. And Philip obeyed. Also, we'll note that God had prepared the heart of the Ethiopian to seek answers to what he had read from Isaiah. God provided water in the desert for the Ethiopian's baptism. God, as we read this story, you need to see how God is in control and has a purpose, even when we don't see the end result. Are we obedient to take that first step? Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can look at your word, that we can let it open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to the possibilities that you present to us. That if we are obedient, you can use us in ways that we would have never imagined. Father, help us be obedient. Use us that we might bring you glory. In Christ's name, amen. So, God leads Philip, and he obeys. The first thing we'll notice is God leads Philip step by step. Reading verse 26 of our passage out of chapter 8, it says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. You can see on the map up above kind of what's going to happen as I continue to read. And said, so Philip rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge, and he was in charge of all her treasure. Well, the first thing you need to understand, Candace is not a name. Candace is Ethiopian, it's a title. It means queen mother. And so, in first century Ethiopia, actually encompassed all of present-day Ethiopia and all of Sudan. So it was a very large country. So anyway, this Ethiopian was in charge of all the treasure for the queen. And then it says, He had come up to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in the chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. So for Philip, God was giving him just one step at a time. Step one, rise and go to the road that leads south to Gaza. You have to understand, from where Philip was in Samaria, he had to walk 35 miles to that road junction. And then he had to walk another 30 miles down that road before he met the eunuch. So he walked a total of about 65 miles. Philip starts out, he doesn't even know why he's going. He's just going because God says go, right? And so he's leading him step by step. Philip reaches Jerusalem, and then he takes the road that it says it goes out to Gaza, to the desert place. And so he's traveled about 65 miles by the time he even begins to understand what God's doing. Well, he's walking. That's 3 to 4 days he's walking obediently to Christ without even knowing what he's doing. But he was obedient. You know, as I was thinking about this passage and I was doing my study this week, I thought about how God led Abram out of his homeland. Reading from Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you." He didn't tell Abraham what the land was. He didn't tell him where it was. He says, you're going to go. And then it continues and says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. And he who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth. God is announcing that his gospel is going to go to all people of the world. Right there in Genesis. And then it says, when Abram came to the land of Cana, the Lord appeared to him and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abram journeyed not knowing where he was going or what the result would be, but because he was obedient to God, he arrived where he was supposed to, and God tells him, "To your offspring I will give this land." See, obedience to God leads to blessings. So, like Philip and Abram, Philip is obedient to the leading of God and the angel. There are a number of times in the book of Acts where Luke talks about an angel of God is used by the power of the Holy Spirit to get people to do what God wants them to do. So, Philip journeys until he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. You need to understand, this is the beginning. This is the beginning that the gospel is now going to cross cultural and political boundaries, and it's going to begin to expand ethnic groups and other languages. The Ethiopian comes from Northeast Africa. He's in charge of the queen's treasury. He is wealthy, and he uses his wealth to do what? To travel to Jerusalem to worship God. And so, he believes in the Jewish God, and he wants to seek him out. Again, as I was studying, I started asking myself, how would an Ethiopian know the Jewish God? Well, let me turn the calendar back for you. Turn it back 1,000 years. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem and with a very great retinue, and the camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. So the Queen of Sheba is from Ethiopia. And she traveled all these miles to find King Solomon and to find out about his God. How did she hear about Solomon and the Jewish God? I don't know. Maybe she heard it from traders as they traveled. When the queen returned to her homeland, I fully believe that she took with her the writings of the Jewish religion, which at that time would include the first 9 books of the Old Testament. And so for 1,000 years, the people of Ethiopia have been reading the Word of God, preparing for the day this eunuch would go back to Jerusalem. But the eunuch wants to know more. He wants to know more about God. He wants to know more than just these 9 books. But the problem was, I believe the eunuch was probably very disappointed after traveling for months to worship in the house of God when he arrived in Jerusalem. Why? Because he was a eunuch, and eunuchs were denied access to the temple. We know this because according to Deuteronomy, eunuchs were denied access to the assembly of God. It says, "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." He was seeking God. He traveled a long way to worship in the house of God. And he was denied entrance to worship where he was told God resided. Verse 28, we read that he's now on his way back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. And you understand that from Ethiopia to Jerusalem is 4 to 5 months travel. To return is 4 to 5 months travel. But he's going to return now, and he's going to have this great influence on the queen, her court, and all the people. The result was that many in Northeast Africa came to know the Lord, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But here is a man, he's not Jewish. He's a Gentile Ethiopian. He's unclean by the fact that he's a eunuch. The people of Ethiopia are also descendants of Ham and Nimrod, which makes them a cursed people. Yet God, in his mercy, sends Philip away from evangelizing the masses, where hundreds are being saved, to visit this one man, this Gentile, this eunuch, this descendant of Ham, traveling back to his home after being denied entry into the temple that he sought to worship the one true God. The actions of God towards this one man, I think, gives hope to all the fallen people, to all Gentiles. It's evidence that God is not concerned with all the man-made rules and limitations and boundaries, but that he loves all his people. He will give faith to the people he is seeking. And I have to tell you, as a Gentile, as a sinner, I am so humbled that God sought me out just like that eunuch and saved me. See, everything God does has a purpose. Now we arrive at step 2 in Philip's journey of obedience. Reading in Acts chapter 8 at verse 29, it says, "The Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless somebody guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? The Holy Spirit directs Philip to go over to the chariot because God knew exactly when to send Philip and when he needed to arrive, and God is orchestrating it all. Philip's response to embrace the Spirit's command, what does he do? Does he walk over to the chariot? Man, no, he runs up to the chariot. He is excited to see what God's going to do. He hears this Ethiopian reading the scroll of Isaiah. And not just any place in Isaiah, but Isaiah chapter 53, which foretells Jesus the Messiah, the Savior. There is no way he just happened to be traveling on this road, and he just happened to be reading Isaiah chapter 53. God has orchestrated all this, guided him to read Isaiah, and brought Philip just at the right moment, just as God has determined. As Philip approached, he heard Isaiah being read. He heard, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. You know, the whole thrust of this section of Isaiah is the innocence of Jesus Christ and the wickedness of mankind. It begs the question, what type of generation would kill a completely innocent man? The answer is, a wicked generation. And quite frankly, almost every generation that I know has been wicked. We are fallen, we are sinful, and without Christ, we are in serious trouble. What a perfect opening for Philip to preach the gospel. I mean, the Ethiopian asks this perfect question. He says, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this, and about himself or about someone else? Philip's response was obviously about somebody else. And he says, not only is it about somebody else, but let me tell you about Jesus. See, conversation with people, listening to what they say, will open up your opportunity to say, let me tell you about Jesus. I can imagine the joy that Philip had as he considers the power of God putting him in the right place at the right time. I've experienced this in my life also, and I just, they're such precious moments. What a great God we serve. I have no doubt of Philip's excitement as he began sharing the gospel. Philip led the eunuch through the verses. Philip was working, God was working in Philip's life, and he had worked in the heart of this eunuch before Philip even got there. If you will open yourselves up to the Holy Spirit, you will experience these things too. Because God, I guarantee you, will lead you to people who want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing more thrilling than sharing the gospel of Christ and seeing the headlights come on, seeing the light come into their eyes, and they just realize just who Jesus is. It's a wonderful experience. I hope it's something that each and every one of you gets to experience over and over and over in your life. Philip leads the Ethiopian to Christ. You know, God doesn't have to tell Philip what to do for this next step, really. I mean, Philip just opens his heart, and out of his heart, his mouth speaks. And it says, reading in verse 35, it says, Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning with the scriptures. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and he carried him away about 15 miles to the west. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. See, but Philip found himself at Zotos, and he had passed through, as he passed through on his way going north, he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The Holy Spirit carried Philip away, and he traveled about 60 miles. And at every village and every town, he stopped and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people came to Christ his whole journey. Isn't that amazing? Scripture passage tells us that Philip started with the Isaiah text and explains who Jesus is and all that he accomplished to this eunuch. And he no doubt tells the man he's a sinner, that he needs forgiveness. He no doubt explains how God, through the mercy and grace, made forgiveness possible through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this Philip shared with the Ethiopian as they traveled until God again does something miraculous that he ordains and predetermines. Once Philip had led this man to accept Christ, they found themselves having arrived at a body of water. Now you'll remember, they're in the desert. It says this is the desert place. It's dry. I can just sense this joy in the Ethiopian as he believes and he comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then with excitement, he says, "Oh, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" A few verses earlier, we were reading that this is a desert place. So my question then is this a miracle of God, or was it a spring? Well, you know what? I don't have an answer to that question, but I can tell you this. Either way, God ordained each and everything. Here is the man who, by all intents and purposes, should not even be saved. He was from a cursed ethnic group. He was not Jewish. He was a eunuch. He was denied access to the temple. He's on a lonely desert road on his way back to a pagan land. But God had placed his affection on him, and God was, as he always is, the prime mover. And it was God who made everything happen in this story exactly as he had determined. I want you to understand the distance between Jerusalem and Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, is a little over 2,400 miles. A 4 to 5 month journey through the desert. Not by himself, but with a whole entourage. This is an expensive trip. I can tell you that the Sinai Peninsula in Sudan are truly deserts. I've worked there. I've been there. Water isn't easy to find. We've had to baptize people with a cup of water because there was no stream. There was no water. We read in verse 39, it says, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit carried Philip away," and it was about 15 miles to the west to the road that he needed to take along the coast up back up to Samaria. You know, now that the Spirit of God was living within this eunuch, he would be able to continue to grow in his faith over the next few months as he traveled back to his country. God was going to prepare him to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at this time that the eunuch is traveling back, the entire Old Testament is complete. He's got it all. And he's taken it back. You know, I'm not sure what exactly passages he's read. I'm sure over those 4 to 5 months, he probably read the entire Old Testament, maybe several times. But I can tell you this, that God, each step of the way, through his Holy Spirit, revealed more and more about Jesus Christ that is found in the Old Testament. And I believe that he continued to read through Isaiah. And as this eunuch, this cursed person that was not even supposed to be allowed in the temple, he would have come to a passage in Isaiah chapter 56 that would have just spoken to his heart and to his soul. It would have said, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' Thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep his Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that they shall not be cut off." So even though that eunuch may not have had sons and daughters, he had Jesus Christ. And God says it's an everlasting name that he will never be cut off from. Wow. I can just imagine as he came to that passage, he probably wanted the chariot to stop again and scream out with just gladness that he was saved. Well, let me bring you forward now. We went back 1,000 years. Let me bring you forward 2,000 years. Currently, the statistics say that Ethiopia has 68% of its population is Christian. It has a Jewish population of over 200,000 people. And it has a population that Israel itself, as the Jewish nation, recognizes as Jewish, even though it's ethnic Ethiopian. They're not Jews. But Israel recognizes it and refers to it as Beta Israel, the House of Israel. So even Israel recognizes the people of Ethiopia. Isn't this exactly what we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Isn't it exactly what we read being lived out, where it says, "When you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." All believers, including you and including me, have received the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So like Philip and like the Ethiopian and like believers through every age, God commands us to go and take the gospel to the world. The question before us, are we sharing the gospel with the lost? Are we being obedient to what God is teaching us here? I mean, don't you find it amazing how God works? I mean, here is a simple story, and yet we find God was putting it all in motion 1,000 years before it happened. Here is a simple story, and we're seeing the results of that simple story 2,000 years later to this very day. See, here's an account of one person, one foreigner, taking the gospel back to his homeland and continuing the spread of the gospel that continues to this very day. So I return to where I started. I say to you as my beloved, we live in a busy and noisy world. Just as Philip was able to listen to the Lord God amid the crowds, we too must learn to filter out the world in order to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit's leading. Listen and obey as He directs. So let me close our time in God's Word this morning by reading a passage of Scripture to you. Let me close our time about the story of the eunuch. And let me also, may this be my benediction to you as you go from here today and live in the world. I'm going to read to you God's word out of Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God shall bless us. God shall bless us and let the ends of the earth fear him. Why does God bless us? So we can hoard those blessings? He blesses us so we can bless others. My beloved, the message is simple. Love Christ with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And share the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone who will listen. Father, we thank you for time in your word today. We thank you that your word is full of these stories to help us understand you better. But these stories, as simple as they are and as great as they are, also have great depth. Things in them that as we dig in, we just find these jewels that make the story come alive, make the story have this deeper meaning. You are a God beyond our ability to completely imagine. And I praise you for that. You are a holy God. You are the only perfect God. May we be faithful and praise you and worship you all the days of our lives. And may we share your gospel with the lost. And to this I say amen and amen.